Neighbor's Choice Radio is live. I'm your host, David Gronoski, and I'm here with James Bovard, who is a journalist at many different outlets. He's also an opinion writer at NewYorkPost.com. How you doing, Jim Bovard?
Hey, doing good. Thanks for having me back on your show, David.
Yeah, it's great having you. So I saw this story headline, and I wanted to get your kind of analysis of what's going on in this massive spending plan. Your article titled, "Taxpayers Feel the Pain of Politicians' Wasteful and Absurd $1.7 Trillion Spending Plan." I can't believe it's almost like this is an inflationary environment, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's sad to see that there's no leash on Congress, that the members of Congress feel like they've got a right to spend money that they don't have, to put perpetual debt on Americans, $31 trillion federal debt. And this is a bill that was 4,000 pages, and it was rushed to a vote. People did not have time to read the bill. And so in the coming weeks, we will be learning what was in the bill, because a handful of congressional leaders decided it was basically rigged the entire process to prevent prevent members from having time enough to find stuff in there that would edify the American public and probably outrage them and give time for some pushback against it. But that didn't happen. So the same thing has been happening a lot for the last 7, 8, 10 years. It happened before that, but it's become a lot more common for these massive appropriation bills to be dumped at the end of the year, and then you have a know-nothing Congress that doesn't bother reading, but still acts like it's entitled to spend as much money as it pleases and have boundless power over the American people.
So what is the omnibus bill? What does that mean?
Omnibus bill means that it's a bill that's a combination of many different appropriations bills. There's, I think, 12 or 13 different appropriations bills that were combined into this single massive document. And it was structured in a way that members of Congress were prohibited from making any amendments to the entire bill. So you got all these different appropriations bill, all these different controversies that federal agencies have caused, but they're all swept under the rug effectively because Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer prohibited any amendments and almost any discussion.
Is this basically the narrative here? The Democrats are trying to go on one giant spending spree before they lose one of the House, lose the House.
Yeah, and that was why the House GOP leadership was very much opposed to this bill, because in less than 2 weeks the GOP will take over the House and could impose discipline on these federal agencies. But what happened is a bunch of the GOP senators sided with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and signed off on this budget-busting bill simply to have the Washington Post and NPR say some nice things about them. But actually, maybe it's worse than that. Maybe they simply don't give a darn about the American public because they've been in D.C. so long that they're part of the permanent ruling class, which has done so much damage to this country.
So when you see that happening, is that because the senators, the Republican senators, probably got to put in their little goodies too for their little corporate, friends?
Yeah. Sure. There were over 7,500 earmarks in this bill. I think Senator Shelby, Richard Shelby, Republican from Alabama, had the most, maybe like 600. Shelby was one of several members who got earmarks in the bill naming federal office buildings or other programs after himself. And somebody commented that it was kind of pointless for him to get his name on another federal training facility in Alabama, since almost everything in Alabama is already named after Richard Shelby, thanks to all the other strings he's pulled in his many years in the Senate.
Yeah, these people are jokes, and it seems like a lot of the folks who would do something to push back against this uniparty monstrosity were unfortunately foiled from attaining office in this midterm. So even with the new Congress coming in, it seems like it will be too little too late to do anything to actually drastically curtail any of this spending, right?
Well, it might be possible to curtail some of it. I mean, it's also possible that the international bond markets will have more effect on that than the U.S. Congress, with the price of U.S. government borrowing jumping rapidly and a loss of confidence in the U.S. dollar, which can make it a lot more difficult to do the deficit spending at the federal level. It's going to be possible to pull in the reins a few places, or at least try to. There are some good members of Congress on this, but there aren't that many, and the entire system is rigged in favor of spending money, even when the money does damage, even when the even for programs that have profoundly disrupted American society. I mean, but there's always contractors, there's always beneficiaries, there's campaign contributions, there's kickbacks, there's insider stock tips. Thanks to Nancy Pelosi, members of Congress can still profit off those. She had promised to hold a vote on whether to ban congressmen from stock trading, because members of Congress get far richer than other Americans because of their inside tips on stocks.
Yeah, I want to go through some of the points you pulled out of this spending scam. You talk about $200 billion is budgeted for gender equity in the Equality Action Fund, part of President Biden's glorious worldwide crusade for the rights of females. You point out, will that program include sending condolence cards to the women of Afghanistan? That's the thinking I have. I mean, is this probably going to go to, like, forcing nations in Africa to, abandon their views on gender and things like that in order to play ball with the global system?
Well, it's possible that some of the members of Congress and maybe some of the federal contractors have that fantasy. It's not going to work out that way. This is something that if the U.S. tries to dictate to foreign countries, it's going to blow up in their face. But it was interesting. I was tracking down the details on that program yesterday when I was writing the story for the New York Post. And there's so much zany stuff which goes on there. For instance, there's the State Department, our tax dollars are funding the Women's Economic Empowerment through Gender-Sensitive Value Chain Interventions in Albania. I mean, gender equity, equality action, this is what they're doing. They're bankrolling gender-sensitive value chain interventions in Albania. What the heck is this all about? I bet that they couldn't explain it. I mean, it's just one fog bank after another of all these kind of vague positive sounding things. But when there's an audit, I mean, all of a sudden, ooh, nothing happened, or it was all corrupt. Like in Afghanistan, for 20 years, first George W. Bush, then Obama, were insisting that the U.S. was helping women's rights there in Afghanistan, and it was, a complete failure.
Yeah, it was, to say the least. You have another part in here about the bill granting the FDA more power over cosmetics. So why? What is that going to entail? They're going to...
Well, political appointees at the FDA love to get headlines, and so it makes me wonder if they're going to send FDA agents out to seize lipstick, sort of like that they did in the 1990s when FDA agents went out and seized orange juice. It was supposedly mislabeled, but it really wasn't. It's strange to be giving this power to the FDA, because this is the agency that basically caused a severe shortage of infant formula. And not only that, the FDA had a starring role in turning the federal response to COVID into a complete disaster. And FDA was rubber stamping these vaccines and vaccine booster 1, 2, 3, 4 based on almost no evidence. There was a report Well, the third booster, I guess, was the FDA rushed approval on that based on a lab study that involved 8 mice. It didn't involve any humans, but well, we sort of tested it on the 8 mice, and therefore you have the FDA approving the third booster, and then you have Biden trying to force everybody in the military and others to go and get this third booster. There have been some new studies coming out from medical journals that that show that people that got those vaccines and boosters were far more likely to get serious health consequences or die from COVID compared to people who had who were not vaccinated, who had COVID and recovered.
Yeah. Speaking of COVID, did you see that new giant statue of the COVID masked nurse unveiled? And it, I mean, it looks like a religion. They really are really embracing that.
I had not seen that. Where was that unveiled?
I think it was a government office. I had to go back and look at the context. I just saw it on social media. Just giant COVID mask nurse, big giant statue, you know, with a nice mask on it. They're really not trying to hide the religiosity of this whole gimmick, you know.
I hope that they didn't name her Nurse Ratchet.
Yeah. That'd be fitting. That'd be truth in advertising, something you don't get with the COVID scam. $3.6 million for the Michelle Obama Trail in DeKalb, Georgia. What's going on in that trail? Is that where things are moving and shaking over there? Is that the hot spot to be?
Well, it's yeah, and I mean, it was there were so many with these earmarks. How it works is that members of Congress can basically say, "I want to spend money for this. I want to spend money for that." And some member of Congress from Georgia wanted to, divvy up $3.6 million for this Michelle Obama trail. And it occurred to me that perhaps that trail is going to be a consolation prize for Michelle Obama, since her biggest initiative in office was the Let's Move campaign to end childhood obesity, and that was a dismal failure.
Yeah, it was. I think it probably got worse, hasn't it, since that was initiated?
It has gotten worse, and, you know, part of that was the trend in American society. But the flip side of that is the other side of the coin for the Obama administration was pushing schools to give free breakfasts to all kids in the classroom and, basically postponing the start of the school day so the kids could get their federally funded breakfast. But what they were doing, it was the patron saint of that federal breakfast program was Homer Simpson. They were giving kids donuts and chocolate milk for breakfast. And it was a horrendously unhealthy combination. And it's the kind of thing which boosts type 2 diabetes and all kinds of other problems. But the feds wanted to basically claim they were vanquishing hunger by giving donuts and chocolate milk to all the school kids, even those who had already had breakfast at home from their parents. And there was many schools would not let parents opt their kids out of the second breakfast in the classroom.
I see. Wow, it's wild times, huh? I want to ask you, while I have you, just to comment a little bit. I know you did a piece at New York Post on the Twitter files. You did a piece called Twitter Files Reveal How Federal Censors Made Mail-In Ballots Sacred, Boosting Biden. What are some of the, I mean, you could talk about that point, or is there any other things that have stood out to you so far as a journalist? You've been writing about government corruption for many years in various outlets and various stories. What's your overall take on this so far?
Well, it's great that Elon Musk is opening some of the vaults as far as federal intervention at Twitter. It was interesting to see the details coming out about how the FBI had paid Twitter more than $3 million for its cooperation. And I was thinking, 30 pieces of silver that Twitter took, okay, from the FBI. I think that there's a whole lot more worse stuff that we haven't heard about yet, and the FBI was very aggressive, and they had a statement, I think, yesterday that was basically all of a conspiracy theory to criticize him. Not the case. I mean, there was federal pressure on Twitter to take down a number of tweets, if not entire subjects. And the FBI had a big role in suppressing information on the Hunter Biden laptop before the 2020 election. But there are other, there are other Department of Homeland Security programs that have bankrolled federal contractors and others to carry out censorship operations by putting pressure on the social media companies, not just Twitter. That had a significant role in the 2020 election because the number one target they had to suppress comments on Twitter or Facebook or elsewhere was any criticism of mail-in ballots. And it was those mail-in ballots that made Joe Biden president, because he got roughly two-thirds of his votes from mail-in and absentee ballots. And, there's a long record in American history of mail-in ballots having a much higher rate of fraud than voting in person, and especially when you combine that with things like ballot harvesting, the kind of thing that Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg paid massive amounts to some big city, Democratic-run cities to go out and round up votes. Some of this information is coming out. I think there's going to be a lot more. It's interesting to see how the media has basically largely ignored the outrages so far. But hopefully it's like a, hopefully the water drip of revelations keeps on coming. And at some point, even the New York Times will notice.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you again about that bill, the omnibus, and forgive me if I'm ignorant on this, but does someone like a Senator Rand Paul have the ability to filibuster and stop this whole thing in time for the new Congress to clean this garbage up?
Well, that's a good question, and it was there were people who hoped. See, it's possible for an individual senator to filibuster a bill, and it takes 60 votes in order to stop the filibuster. So the Democrats have 50 votes in the Senate as of now, and I guess one more after with a new Congress. But so it was a question of whether they'd be able to get 10 Republican senators to sign on to the budget-busting bill. Well, it turned out I think there were 17 or 18 Republicans that signed on for it today in the vote. So unfortunately, you had people like Rand Paul, you had people like Mike Lee, who would have taken a stand and to try to stop the bill, but there were so many GOP senators who have who signed on to support the bill, and they simply don't care. They simply don't care that they didn't have a chance to read it, that they're forcing this to the American people without any kind of due process on Capitol Hill. They're just signed on to big government, and it works out well for them personally.
Yeah, so, when you create $1.7 trillion in new spending, what is that going to do to inflation?
Well, there's a number of things in the bill that will probably boost inflation, but it's also possible that we're getting very close to the point where where Congress can pretend to be running the universe, and Biden as well, and all of a sudden things spiral out of control. I mean, some of the financial markets are flashing warning signs that people in Washington really haven't paid attention to yet, but there could be some real serious butt kicking coming up here.
Yeah, I can always count on the Republicans, though, to fail to do anything of substance every time they get power. But you never know. There's always a new turtle. Yeah, exactly. James, I really appreciate you coming on the program, and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thanks. Thanks, David. Merry Christmas to you, and thanks for having me on. It's always fun to smack Congress around.
Yeah, very good. And I'm glad to see you're putting out such great content on the New York Post, where you're able to really engage with even larger audience than some of the other great outlets that you've been working with. So I'm excited to see what happens next with your work. So check him out, James Bovard at NewYorkPost.com. Great stuff.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. So that's it for Hour 1. We'll be back, folks, in just a moment with Ryan McMakin from the Mises Institute. He'll be joining us for our Mises conversation about economics. You're going to like that. So stay tuned for that. You'll also have, in the next hour, Dr. Yu, who will be unraveling new science mysteries live on air. As no one else in the world does, Dr. Yu will be in the house, our chief science advisor and physicist. So that will be a really fun conversation. Don't miss it. But in the meantime, a little bit of housekeeping. I'd like you to go to aneighborschoice.com, put your email in for our weekly update. It's available on the homepage. Just put your email in and we'll give you a weekly update of our content highlights. That way you stay abreast of some of our content you might miss when it happens live, or maybe you'll see a podcast on the website in that update that you didn't catch before. We've got a lot of fantastic podcasts, including a new discussion with Gil Bailey and Jason Jones, two great friends of the program, where we get into some of the anthropological insights that we have for you for the Christmas story, the Nativity. And you'll also like a very special Christmas special coming out later. That's scheduled for tomorrow. There'll be published a new Things Hidden discussion, a Christmas special panel. It'll be very terrific. You won't want to miss that. So go to aneighborschoice.com for all of that and more. You can also email me, hello@aneighborschoice.com. I'm David Gronowski. Godspeed.